This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
We've looked at that, you know, if we don't move at all, I think that's 25 picks in 3 years, which is over, you know, eight and some change. So I like where we're at there, on top of, you know, being set up next year to have a pretty good setup as well. And I think it matches the draft. I think a lot of guys went back to school this year. I think you're going to see a significant drop off. You know, hopefully some guys squeak through, but it actually, the way we're set up in the draft this year actually pairs up really well with how I think it's going to play out.
Ryan Poles addressing the media right there. It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arcus, right here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And the draft, 3 weeks away. It's sexy even saying that out loud, Hub. I got to be honest. It gets me excited. And don't forget, draft coverage on The Score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And right now, we get a chance to talk about not only the draft, but just, you know, the state of the Chicago Bears, where they're at right now, with our next guest joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Of course, you can catch him on the Sun Times. It's none other than our guy, Patrick Finley. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Doing good. Talk to me about, you know, expectations heading into the offseason and where you think if you think they've been met to this point in the present.
I think they have. I think that Keenan Allen, in my book, is a big reason why. Is, you know, after the first wave of free agency, you're sitting there going, they need a receiver. You know, whether it was a free agency or trade, I thought that was a pretty glaring need, and they went out and they got a pretty good one. You know, as we can see by the other trades for a wide receiver, I don't think they overpaid compared to what some other teams did. And I think they have now surrounded the number one draft pick with, you know, weapons to be successful. And, you know, that draft pick's going to be Caleb Williams, and he's going to be walking into a situation with two good receivers, two good tight ends, and, you know, two or three pretty decent running backs. And, you know, if you look at where this Bears roster was 2 years ago, that's a pretty remarkable accomplishment.
You know, Pat, I'm curious, but you just said it, and I was going to ask you about it in a different way. Now I'm going to have to change the way I ask it. I think I can say for a fact, because of who I've talked to about it, that they have not made a final decision yet that they're locked into on that number one overall pick. They're certainly leaning in certain ways. They've done enough of their evaluation that you know, I'm sure they've got various options. But everybody keeps talking about, well, it's a done deal now. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams at number one. Why are you convinced of that?
I think they believe he's the best quarterback available. I believe that they know that they need a quarterback. You know, we're not in a position of, you know, you can trade down to, you know, to the number five spot and get 14 draft picks over the next 3 years. That doesn't solve the Bears' a very acute problem. And I think that they are convinced that whatever off the field questions there were about Caleb at the beginning of the year, whether it was, you know, some of the stuff you heard about, you know, would his dad rather him go to his hometown team in Washington? I think the Bears are satisfied that that's stuff that they don't have to worry about.
Yeah, I'm curious, though, Pat. I wouldn't argue with anything you just said, except period.
But then new sentence.
Except was the wrong word. But then I would go on to, I think pretty much everybody can agree that Caleb Williams is the best quarterback, you know, prospect in this draft. But how much better is he than the other five with what you're giving up by not trading that pick and taking one of the others?
Yeah, I mean, in my book, I think he, I think if you're the Chicago Bears and if you haven't had a world-class quarterback ever, and if you haven't had a very, very good quarterback in 70 years, I think taking the best quarterback in this year's draft makes a ton of sense. You know, if it's a matter of degree, and if you want to sit here and tell me that, you know, Jaden Daniels is 85% of Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy is, 68% of Caleb Williams, I'll give you that. But I think the Bears are in a position where, they need to fix the most important position in the sport. And for the first time in the history of their franchise, they have the first choice. They don't have to sit there and rely on other teams to make decisions for them. They can make it themselves. And, they're leaning toward Caleb Williams, absolutely for sure.
We're talking to Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times. Also, check out the Hallis Intrigue podcast while you're at it on Apple or anywhere you get that. I hear what you're saying, though, Patrick, where the Bears are trying to fix themselves in the present, right? They want to get this thing right now, and if they can take the best quarterback, then so be it. But when we're looking at expectations for the next season, talk to me about the floor. Right? I mean, anybody can go on a tangent and just kind of tell you what they think they want in terms of wins. But a floor, I think that is something that I think we can discuss in the present.
I think I could argue to you that with Tyson Bajan as the quarterback and the offensive weapons that they've added and, the number 9 pick, just absolute floor. Let's say they draft Caleb Williams and, he hurts his knee
hurts
on
his
the
leg,
first
yeah.
snap. And, pulls an Aaron Rodgers, gets hurt in the first quarter of the first game. I think their floor is probably somewhere like six wins, seven wins. I think the defense, if it plays the way it did in the second half of last season, is going to keep them in a lot of games. And I think, some of the added weapons they have on offense, will make the offense better. I mean, you look at what Justin did the last couple of years, and Justin was exciting, and we don't need to get in a screaming match about Justin Fields anymore, thank God. But, the Bears' passing offense was atrocious. And, I can't find a world in which it'll be worse this season, even with a backup quarterback, than it had been the last 2 years.
Pat, obviously quarterback is the Bears' greatest need. I don't think anybody would argue that. What do you think is their second greatest need at this point?
There are three possibilities here, and one of them is wide receiver. One of them is edge rusher. One of them is left tackle. In a vacuum, I think an edge rusher is probably number one, and I think a left tackle is probably number two, and I think a wide receiver is number three. Now, that is probably the opposite of the way I think they're going to draft with the number 9 pick. I think, you can look at Rome Odunze, and if he's there at 9, I think the Bears would be wise to jump on that. I'm not sure that there is an edge rusher equivalent of Rome Odunze who's going to be there at 9. And, if Joe Alt goes somewhere in the top 8, I'm not sure that there's a Rome Odunze version at left tackle that's going to be available. The Bears, I think, have shown you through free agency kind of what positions they've patched and which ones they haven't. And I think that edge rusher spot opposite Montez Sweat is the one glaring position they haven't filled yet.
Patrick, I've heard a lot of draft analysts say that, this isn't a particularly deep draft where the talent is going to be in the top, three or four rounds. But I still want somehow, some way, and Hub and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, I still want Ryan Poles to have the ability to utilize his team of scouts as he's done the last couple of years to bring in some talent in the second and third rounds. And I know that comes in the form of a trade with number 9 or, maybe moving up for future assets. You're content with what the Bears have now and what they're able to bring in, to next season? Or would you also like, maybe another pick splashed in there somewhere?
I think in a perfect world, you'd love to draft somewhere between number 9 and number, 70 or 72
yeah.
or, 75. You'd love to have that pick. You'd love to have the flexibility to move around there. But, at number 9, if they have somebody they like, I think they should take them. This team is not I think this team is closer than we would have thought a year ago back when, trading down even to get that extra fourth round pick made a lot of sense. So I'd be okay. If they're in love with the guy who's available at 9 and they take him, I have no issue with that. Now, I think it's worth remembering that they've got an extra second round pick courtesy of the Panthers in next season's draft. I mean, there is a way if you want to get into the end of the second round or into the third round this year, with an extra third round pick, there's a way to trade from 2025 to try and give yourself a little bit of flexibility in 2024. I'd be totally okay with that. And you'd have to think that that Panthers pick would be pretty attractive to any team sitting there and, you know, guessing that the Panthers are going to be one of the worst five teams in football again this year.
You know, Pat, another thing I'm really curious about is that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have told all of us, everyone who will listen, that they like, trust, and respect the left tackle they have. And yet everybody also has them taking a left tackle at number nine. Why is that?
I think that, in the end of season press conference about, 5 days after the year ended, I think Ryan Poles had a quote about their left tackle that was kind of damning with faint praise, which was that, they thought that Braxton Jones had shown a lot of growth, but if, if there's an opportunity to get better, they'll always look at that. I mean, I looked at that as not an endorsement of Braxton Jones at all. I looked at it as an excuse for the Bears to state their intentions that, they might want to improve there. Now, trying to find a left tackle in free agency is a really expensive thing to do. It didn't stun me that the Bears didn't go looking in those waters, but, if Braxton Jones is your swing tackle, 3 weeks and 1 day from now, I mean, you're living pretty right, aren't you? I mean, that's a depth at offensive line that I think is something the Bears wouldn't have had. And, I'll tell you this. The Bears the last couple of years have been really concerned about their lack of depth on the offensive line. I mean, you can kind of look at the guys who have played snaps for them due to injury and surmise that, they need to be a lot better at that. They're still building that back up. I'm not totally sold on what they're doing at center. But, adding depth and adding a top 10 prospect at left tackle, I think would be a smart thing for them to do. I mean, investing in a left tackle in the draft, what's the last time the Bears did that, Hub? It's been a long, long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, although I guess you could make the argument that we didn't know whether they got one last year or not, whether he was going to be a left or a right tackle. But I mean, no, I understand and also agree with what you just...
Yeah, because I think, Patrick, like you mentioned, right, initially, and Hub, we've been talking about this with the rebuild, initially it was getting bodies in the building because they didn't even have that on the offensive line. They were bringing in guys from anywhere. And then it was actual talent that they were bringing in. And now they have the opportunity to create the depth. I guess just for us, like from a fan's perspective, you see Braxton Jones, you know he's done well, you know Poles likes him, and you say to yourself, you'd love a big boy up there to kind of hold down that position, but you want the sexier picks with, it's sexier, the defensive end that's really good with the big muscles or, the Roma Dunze at number nine. That's what I think some Bears want. But you're right, they're expensive. And if you have the opportunity to grab one, it will be most certainly difficult to pass up. We're talking to Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez along with Hub Arkish. I'm looking at the Vikings and a lot of people talking about, connecting them with either J.J. McCarthy or in the event that Drake May drops that they'll go there. You're looking at the NFC North and how it's going to play out next season. I just look at them as a team that might not be as interested in trading up to get that quarterback that they want and maybe taking a shot for them in the next season. Do you see them being aggressive in this draft?
I think they will be. I think trading for the Texans pick now puts them in a position where if they wanted to trade, 11 and 23, they could probably get up in the top five or six of the draft. In fact, I just did a mock draft for the Sun-Times where I had them doing just that. I had them trading 11 and 23, I think, to get to the Chargers pick at number five, which would allow them to take – I gave them J.J. McCarthy after giving the Cardinals Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, I mean, the Vikings could sit there and, try and collect talent at other positions and roll with Sam Darnold and take another crack at this next year. But I would argue to you that the top three quarterbacks for sure, and probably, the top four are better than anybody who's going to be available at this time next year in the draft. And, would you rather have J.J. McCarthy than Shedeur Sanders? I would. And, the bonus is you get him this year. And hopefully by next year, he's not a rookie anymore. So to me, that's the appeal for them, is that, the cream of the quarterback class for probably the next two seasons is all happening this year.
I got to be honest, guys. I am definitely part of the people that, you know, watch the Michigan games, and I have the benefit of having Hub next to me to explain, you know, like why JJ McCarthy. I know, trust me, I am.
But
I'm being bold in my statement right now. But I am part of the other, you know, the other part of the America that's like, I don't see what the hype is. To me, he will fall to 11. I see JJ McCarthy going down there because I'm looking at the teams. But, you know, I know obviously people see things that the experts, like we were talking about, you know, they're seeing it a different way. But I just, you know, when you mentioned Shedeur Sanders and JJ McCarthy, I think to myself, yeah, I'm looking at an electrifying dynamic. Shedeur Sanders will be the number one pick in the draft next year, first quarterback taken off the board next year. And I look at that and I say, yeah, I feel like I'd be more confident in Shedeur Sanders than I would at JJ McCarthy. But then again, it's because, like we were mentioning earlier, Hub, I just look at the tape. I'm just looking at what it's not, but it's not much of it, right? Mm-hmm. And not much of it. And, you know, you said it yourself, you watched a lot and you feel like you can be there. You, Patrick, are saying that, you know, 11 and 23 to move up for five to grab JJ McCarthy. I guess I'm looking for more of an argument as to why that is the case to make me a believer about JJ McCarthy.
Well, you know, guys, contrary to what people obviously have already decided, I'm not going to say what they think. I have not decided yet whether I would take Williams or McCarthy on April 25th. I mean, again,
with the number one pick.
I'm not negative Williams.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out who is the best prospect. And I will tell you this, 28-1, and the one loss, his team scored 40 points. So, you know, I mean.
But he's also had the benefit of playing with the best team in the country.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's another reason why he might, you know, be prone to having a 28-1 record.
And Williams played with what? The 15th best team in the country? Every one of these quarterbacks played with one of the best teams in the country. Yeah. You guys, there's 82 ways you can go at this, and you're not going to have the answer when you get done. But Patrick, I want to just get off the McCarthy stuff because it's nuts already. I mean, you know, all six of these guys are going to get drafted in the top 35 picks, and then we'll see in a couple of years where they're at. But what I'm curious about is of the guys who emerged last year in the second half of the season, who were really coming on and becoming playmakers, which one do you expect to take another step forward this year?
Boy, that's a good question.
Let me give you mine. All right, go ahead. Tyreek Stevenson, I think, is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. I'm really impressed by him. But that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like Terrell Smith, too. I think, you know, if Terrell Smith ends up playing half the snaps or a third of the snaps over the course of the season, you know, due to injury and everything else, I think the Bears are in a good spot. I wanted to say Jaquan Brisker, and I realize he wasn't a rookie last year, but this is a guy who's missed a lot of time in 2 years. I think he's a really good player, and I think that there's an aggressiveness to him and a physicality to him that really does help set the tone on defense. I just need to see him out there more. So, you know, that's somebody who I'm not sure was necessarily coming on last season, but he's somebody I'm excited to watch play some more. You look up front and, you know, boy, I need to get a pass rush out of my defensive tackle. And, you know, you do wonder when we were asking Matt Eberflus last week about, hey, do you need an edge rusher? And I asked him that question about three different ways from Sunday. And at some point he said, you know, we could get a defensive tackle that could rush the passer, and that could really help us too. I don't know that there's one worth having at number nine, but, you know, that, you know, if somebody asked me, is there a position that might be a bit of a dark horse on draft day, I think defensive tackle would make a ton of sense. I'm not sold on Zach Pickens yet. Jerron Dexter, I think is really intriguing, but you know, you take Justin Jones away and now you've left those two guys to handle that three technique spot. I'm not 1,000% comfortable with that.
You know, Pat, I'll give you my guy, because, you know, I mean, and it's not a natural fit. He is a little bit older and different, but I'm curious about Nate Davis. They made a big commitment to him early to be the difference on the inside of the offensive line, and everything went wrong, most of it not on the field, you know, and I feel bad for the guy for some of the personal problems that he had, but if he can have a better off season and can come back healthy and his family can do well, I mean, they may already be in much better shape on the front of that offensive line if he's the player they thought he was when they signed him last year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he came over and he missed a lot of the off season work and a lot of, you know, was kind of in and out in the preseason, in part because he had somebody in his family who was dying. And that is something that I think makes us all feel, our hearts go out to him, obviously. But he, you know, with a full off season in which he's got his feet underneath him, I think the Bears are hoping he'll be a much better player than he was last year.
Patrick, I know you've been covering Steve McMichael in the story lately, and I know that obviously there was a recent update yesterday. Can you just fill us in on what's been going on as of late?
Yeah, Mongo got taken to the hospital yesterday, checked him out. He had a urinary tract infection, which is something that he's been getting over the last year or so. And they gave him some antibiotics and sent him home by 9 o'clock at night. So, he seems superhuman in these situations. Whenever you hear that he's going to the hospital, obviously, that it's a really complicated thing for somebody with ALS. And he just emerges quickly, or at least this time he went home real quick. And boy, he's just the toughest guy in the world. It was good news for those who love Mongo to find out that hospital trip was about as short as it could have possibly been.
Yeah, and we appreciate you giving us the updates. A lot of us obviously aren't as close to the situation. And so when we get those kind of things, those updates, that they're good ones, positive ones, it definitely helps us out. So I appreciate that. Last one I got for you. And this one's actually for both of you guys, because you guys are both writers and such. What do you guys think about the sports writers that are AI now? I was looking up a story, and I was reading this, and the person's name was Kai Serrano, right? And I'm reading this story, and I'm like, these words are very ChatGPT, right? It doesn't feel right. So I start Googling the person. I'm trying to find them on Twitter. I'm trying to find their, some social media handle that they have. And then I see their picture, and it's an AI-generated picture of somebody, and they have a bio. The person's from the Philippines. It's fake. And so I'm like, I wasn't a writer, right? I just on the radio. So I'm curious, you guys, your thoughts on AI and taking over certain segments of the sports writing world.
Yeah, Pat, let me go first. Let me go first, because I'm going to be short and I want to hear what you have to say, because this was going to be my last question. I decided not to ask it.
But damn,
this wasn't exactly the question. But Pat, I have been so frustrated by the media coverage of the Chicago Bears for the last year, because I don't think it's been balanced, and I'm not sure how fair it's been, and not you, I'm not naming anyone individual, most of them are all our friends, but it's just because we're all reacting to what goes on with this AI stuff and all the things people are reading and looking at and thinking they just got news, when in fact they just got an opinion from a fan, and it drives me nuts. And I don't know how you feel about the life that you and I are in, but it's been really frustrating the last year, the way that what we're calling, media coverage now, because a lot of it is just some fan's opinion.
Yeah, I think you got to separate AI from social media. AI, you can imagine my opinion on it. I think the fact that you could tell that it was something less than human while reading it tells you all you need to know about whether AI makes for a good sports writer. I don't think it does, and I don't think it will. Now, we could have a conversation about whether that could do, whether AI could type up a JV high school basketball game story and send it into a local paper. Does that make sense? I don't think it does, but I could see some utility to it. I think in the world of the NFL, you don't need AI. You got enough of us covering the team already. In terms of social media, and in terms of media coverage, Hub, I think we could do another three segments on this, but I think you need to define what you mean by media coverage. I think that that a lot of us who are up there every day have a different responsibility and a different, quite honestly, a different standard for reporting than people who are in that Bears Twitter world. And, I think that getting caught up in the quarterback conversation over the last year has been exhausting for all of us, those of us who are there every day and those of us who aren't. And I am looking forward to not having to have people scream at me on social media whenever I say, hey, guys, I don't think Justin Fields is going to be here next year. Or, conversely, when Justin Fields would do something good, you'd point that out and you'd have somebody scream at you, too. I hope the temperature gets taken down in Bears land in the next year or two or three. I should know better, and I should probably presume that it won't be, but it'd be a much better world if it were.
I can give my AI opinion in one sentence.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. I could pull it up, right? I could pull up a rebuttal in 2 seconds.
It's artificial intelligence, right?
Yeah.
If it's artificial, how is there any intelligence?
it just collects, it aggregates everything out there in the world and spits something out, which sounds not that dissimilar than some of our complaints about social media.
Yeah, that is right. But you know what? No one could duplicate the Patrick Finley. That's what we know. Hey, Pat, I appreciate you jumping on with us as always, man. Have a great night.
That's a good outro. A computer could not pull off that outro. Yeah.
Take care, Pat.
Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times. Make sure you check him out. And of course, he has the amazing podcast as well that we all should be checking out on Apple or wherever you get the goods. Hallis Intrigue. I wanted to make sure I got the name right. I knew it was Hallis something. All right, Hub, I want to open up the phone lines. A lot of stuff talked about right there. A lot of goods right there. Who's going to be the second, or who's going to have the biggest improvement in their second year or third if you're talking about Jaquan Brisker? Bears at number 9. What direction is it going to be? Offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or would you prefer them to trade? A lot of stuff going on there. We got Hub Arcus here, and we're going to be ready to take your phone calls right now. 312-644-60.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
767, your thoughts, your calls right after the break, right here on 670 The Score.
Draft, we're going to leave here, get right back to the draft process, actually going to fly to LSU straight from here and their pro day before headed back to Chicago. Just continue to put all the information together. Every day I feel like we get more and more clarity as we move forward. So we're excited about where we're going, and everything looks promising.
Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arcus, right here on 670 The Score. That was Ryan Foles addressing the media and just letting everybody know about the draft process. Shout out to Alex Kuhn doing a phenomenal job today producing. It's Gabe Ramirez. Hub Arcus taking some calls right now. Just finished talking with Patrick Finley, and we assure you that neither Hub nor I are artificially intelligent. We are actually here in the radio studios taking these calls and talking to you live. That's what we are on The Score, live and local. Let's start out with Derek in Markham. Derek, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hey, Hub, this is a question for you. How much do the Brian Poe's going to take into his college scouts? As you know, he may have top 10 scouts out there, and maybe three of them agree on some, three may not agree on. But how does he work that out?
Well, I mean, he obviously trusts them all. They work for him. But he also, I think, obviously, probably has a little more trust or respect from one or two of the other three or four. But basically, they have multiple meetings every day, really, for pretty much starting now until the draft, where he meets with all of his scouts, and they all discuss it together, and they try and all arrive at the same place. You know, they try and get – that's why we hear about their board, mm-hmm. and we hear about the list and the blues and the reds and the greens. And they all work together to put that together. Now, at the end of the day, what matters the most is Ryan Poles, not any of these other guys, because he has the final decision, and these other guys are trying to get to that point. But, you know, when you ask, you know, how does he work or trust with his – employees, it's, you know, knowing which ones have done the better job, given them the better information the last couple of years, and pretty much trusting them in that order.
I'm reading a book right now, Hub. It's called Good Argument. It's by a world champion debater. Mm-hmm. And he talks about just, you know, the fundamentals debating, why they're so important, and how, you know, you should be able to have a healthy disagreement that doesn't end up in conflict. And I love the fact that Ryan Poles was talking about, you know, having the meeting where each scout is responsible for a different position group, and they were going to try to debate why their position was the best and needed to be taken at a respective, you know, position, whether it be 9 or 1. And I thought that was a great way of handling things, right? Because you do want to, like you mentioned, with him not being 100% done with his everything for number 1, it's like Ryan Poles isn't allowing for any space. He wants to figure everything out and make sure he's 100% accurate. So even something like this, where you would task your scouting department to to challenge why you should take a interior defensive lineman, like we were talking about before, as opposed to a defensive end or an offensive lineman.
And the most important thing to Ryan with those all those things, because at the end of the day, he's the only one who matters. He's going to make the decisions. And what he's hoping is that he's going to hear some things from these guys as they do this that he hadn't thought of or he hadn't noticed. And he's going to look into them and maybe learn more.
Yeah.
And that every day Ryan Poles goes to work, every one of the 32 NFL GMs, hoping they're going to learn more from their people. That's how making the right decisions, making the right picks, finding the right talents happens.
That's a good one, man. He's Hub Arkish. I'm Gabe Ramirez. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Mike out in Glencoe. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys. And I was flipping channels on the radio, and I heard Hub's voice and he had to dial in. Hub, it's just a delight to hear you talking Bears football, and I hope your health as well, because you're absolutely, in my mind, the top football advisor on radio today. And my question to you,
Mike,
is,
before I get your question, let me just say you're being far too kind, but thank you very much. No, go ahead.
I'm not. Maybe we go back. We're the same age. But help me get off the cliff. Maybe because I have bad dreams of Gary Huff and Rex as our quarterback, I'm still worried about Caleb Williams' height. Why shouldn't I be worried about Caleb Williams' height?
Well, because he's 3 inches taller than the Raiders quarterback or the kid drafted last year. I mean, first of all, there's no consistency in these measurements. I've heard him called 6 foot to 6'3", yeah, depending on which one you look at. I'm reasonably sure he's 6'2", or maybe a couple quarter inches short of 6'2". He's tall enough, okay? 6'1 is the breaking point for me. Anybody below 6'1 is not a quarterback I'm likely to take a chance on. It's just because we've seen it over the years. But Williams is big enough. You know, that's not one of the people are looking for negatives on him now, which is really unfair.
Yeah.
And that's not one of them. He's tall enough. You know, he's not a tall quarterback, but he is. If he's not 6'2", he is right there. And that is tall enough.
Is it as simple as, you know, the ball not getting over the line of scrimmage and defensive, you know, line players being able to create, you know, that obstacle for you, and that at that 6 foot range, it's just a little more likely to happen? Is that, I mean, because a lot of people are down on people that are 6 foot, right?
Or, yeah.
And I'm getting defensive because I'm 6 foot. So,
you know, Gabe, I don't know that I can actually answer that question. I'm not sure that there's one or two main reasons for it. It's just that if you look at quarterbacks drafted or signed over the years, very rarely will you find one under 6'1", you know, who has been successful. It just doesn't, back in the day it happened because none of the quarterbacks were much bigger than that. But today with the athletes that we find at that size, they're just not going to be as athletic or as good as the guys who are bigger than them.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Dennis out in Highland, Indiana. So, Dennis, do you have some concerns about this number one pick?
Well, historically, the success rate on the first quarterback taken in the draft, and I say over the past 30 years, is only about 30%. And so oftentimes there's a better quarterback that gets drafted later.
Hold on, wait, I want to
draft,
stop you, Dennis. So. Dennis, I want to stop you. Because if you were to then compare, you just said it 30%. Let's go with your argument. 30% success rate at the number one pick. If you were to just randomly pick wherever you think the talent is at whatever pick, second round, pick 58, I guarantee you that the percentage of quarterbacks taken at 58 isn't as high as 30%, though.
Well, there is historically, too, a better quarterback taken later in the draft than the first.
Yeah, but you're comparing
the first one picked in the draft.
Yeah, so you're comparing
trade down
the entire
and have
draft.
A better chance of getting a better quarterback and get some additional assets is what I'm suggesting there. Or you just roll the dice with a 3 out of 10 chance that you've hit the guy. But there's been thousands of or hundreds of NFL GMs who have missed on that shot. So 3 out of 10 hits, 7 out of 10 don't. So given that, you know, why not take a chance at getting a better quarterback later on in the draft and getting some additional assets?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I would agree that you have a better chance in the later rounds. That doesn't work in a lot of ways. But you are correct in the fact that the overwhelming majority of those taken with the number one overall pick don't eventually become franchise quarterbacks. And in this draft, with 5 or 6 that a lot of intelligent experts can't agree on, your odds are just as good at getting your franchise quarterback just based on past history by taking someone other than Williams, but one of the other top prospects. You know, I just think it's unclear to me when Caleb Williams became the absolute choice above all the rest, you know, because again, I've watched all the tape and I've looked at the stats. And I know what we're talking about. And then we've seen all this side stuff. And I am saying, I think he is the number one quarterback prospect in the draft. But I think the difference between him and McCarthy and probably him and May is very small, you know, but until they get taken and play, we're not going
to
know.
Yeah. Cause you did bring that up earlier where you said to yourself, you know, and I thought it was a great question, right? What is that gap? What is the gap? And I think Patrick Finley tried to do a good job of, you know, putting percentages to it when he, you know, threw out things like, you know, JJ McCarthy being 68% of Caleb Williams, Drake May being 85% of Caleb Williams. But you're right. We don't know that, right? This is just what people are, what we think, say.
Yeah. And by the way, I was surprised when Pat used those numbers, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because those numbers are both too low. I mean, when you're evaluating these prospects, I can see where Williams may be 5, maybe 10% better than the other 5.
Yeah.
But no more than that. I mean, there are so many things you can look at, because if I could get together with some of you and we could just spend 2 days doing nothing but watching tape of these 6 quarterbacks, I can guarantee you that I could convince you by the end of those 2 days that there's just not that much difference between them. And that's why there's only 32 GMs and only they get to make those decisions. They're better than we are at seeing what they're looking for to determine which one of these guys are better.
Yeah, it's difficult, right, Hub? I mean, you have Caleb Williams, who wins the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago, so the hype train begins. You have a Drake May, who is loyal to North Carolina because his family went there, and you're not necessarily saying that he had a ton of talent around him. You have a Jaden Daniels, who has 2 first-round prospects who he was throwing the ball to. You know, it's just like a J.J. McCarthy on a national championship team. There are things, as you mentioned, the GM has to try to figure out and put in his algorithm of how he's going to come up and what kind of value is he putting on particular variables, because they're all different for every quarterback when you're trying to finish the equation and what it should ultimately look like. But you're right. There are highs for all the quarterbacks, and then there are things and arguments that you can make on the other side for why they shouldn't be taken number one.
You know, I think the thing that none of us talk about, and it's probably the most important part, is that not one of these kids has ever played an NFL game
right,
or on an NFL field or with other NFL players. So no matter what you saw before you drafted him, you're not going to know who you have until you see him working with these other guys. That's what makes this so difficult. That's why so many fail, you know, and that's why there's nobody, including me, starting with me, who can say for a fact that McCarthy's the best or Williams is the best or that Daniels is the best. All we can do is study them based on what we know matters and say that this is why I would invest the most in them, which is the same thing as saying this is why I would draft him where I'm going
to
draft him.
Yeah, and that started with moving on from Justin Fields, and now the Bears are in the position to do just that. We're going to take some more phone calls, continue the Bears conversation. On the other side, don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez and Hub Arkish right here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish here on 670 The Score. Shout out to everybody listening in their cars right now. You know, you can take us in your house, take us on your phone, the Odyssey app. Simple way to listen to all of us here. Mullion Hall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel. My name should be on this read as well. I want to selfishly say that my name should be on this.
Gabe Ramirez and Hub Arkish.
Thank you. Thank you. And everything The Score has to offer with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us with you everywhere you go. Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish has mentioned, you know, having some good Bears conversations. Not the boring kind where it's just about Caleb Williams. About the team. About the future. About how we feel in the present. And that's why we're also taking some phone calls, Hub. Let's take one more. Let's go to Jordan in Highland. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hello, how you fellas doing tonight?
Doing good. You know, a lot of conversation about the number 9 pick and what direction the Bears should be going in. You have an opinion?
Yeah, as far as the opinion-wise, I wanted to talk about that, and I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation as well. But as far as when it comes to the number 9 pick, I believe that they probably should go offensive tackle, but I think they're going to go receiver. Offensive tackle, I heard a good point that somebody made on a radio today. of those three positions, what's the hardest one to trade for? That would be the offensive tackle, a left tackle. You know, you can trade for a defensive end. We've done that. You can trade for a wide receiver, but trading for a offensive tackle on the left side, when do you ever see that? So that's one of the hardest positions to get. So if they can do that, I could see them doing that, and I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
You know, Jordan, it's an interesting way to go at it. I'm not sure that the facts would back you up on it, though. It's not that hard to draft a left tackle in terms of relating it to any other position, you know, that I can think of.
Well, he was saying trade for a left tackle, or like to acquire a left tackle through a trade. So if you don't draft one, like to acquire one in free agency.
Yeah. I think, Hub, this is what a lot of people, you know, they're craving the need to be satisfied in the present always. Mm-hmm. Instead of just taking a beat and thinking about things and saying, hey, you know what? It's not, you just don't have to fix everything in the draft. There's going to be a lot of cap casualties still. There's going to be a lot of training camp cuts. There's still going to be talent that is going to be out there, mm-hmm, where you can add pieces. And I think a lot of people, you know, even those that just speak casually about the draft, Hub, where they're like, okay, there are six needs and the Bears got to tackle them all. And you're like, wait, but they only got four picks left in the draft, so they can't even do what you're saying. And they're like, but they got to get the best center in the – well, how? If you want them to take a wide receiver in a – and it's like, we have to then just take a second and think to yourself, how can you actually attain these goals that you want? And, you know, free agency, those are gone, but you can, you know, maybe get someone a little bit later down the line. I think that's something that we got to put into the lexicon when we're thinking about what we want for the Bears in the future.
Well, yeah, but the problem with the conversation tonight is that once you get past the fourth round, there is nothing left
right
down the line.
That's my point.
So that's where I keep saying there's no way I would use both those picks, the first and the ninth. I've got to trade one of them and get more first round. You're not just getting more picks, you're getting more first round picks, you know, and you're getting multiple for either one of those picks. And that's why I feel so strongly about it. You know, and obviously, whoever they take, if they don't trade the first pick, and it looks like they're not going to, and if they do take Caleb Williams, and it looks like they're going to, and he turns out to be who everybody hopes he will, nobody's going to be unhappy. Everybody's going to be fine with that.
Right.
Okay.
With whatever happens at nine.
But if you do that, and then you use the ninth pick, and you don't get a special player there, when you could have gotten at least three or four more draft picks that all might have led to a special player, multiple special players, that's where I think you're making a mistake. Or you can go the other way, because I do think that there are going to be at least two or three very good quarterbacks out of this group. So if you trade that first overall pick, then you can get rich and you can still get your quarterback at number nine.
Yeah, I think the ultimate goal, right, is to have a special team, mm-hmm, at the very end of, mm-hmm, all of this, and putting that together and trying to compete at a high level as soon as possible. I think Bears fans are ready for some victories and even just a competent team. And it looks like they're heading in that direction, but you're right. You cannot have enough talent on a squad, especially when you're trying to be good, not just for a year or two, mm-hmm, but for the next 10 years. You're trying to set yourself up for that. Someone who most certainly is going to be good for the next 10 years has been having a hell of a run. Caitlin Clark has been putting on a show in the NCAA Women's Tournament. We're going to chat a little bit about that. I want to get Hub's thoughts on it, man. He's one of the 12 million people that's out there watching Caitlin Clark and everybody else in the Women's Tournament. We'll chat a little bit of that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, it's Hub Arkish, right here on The Score.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish here on 670 The Score. Shout out to everybody listening in their cars right now. You know, you can take us in your house, take us on your phone, the Odyssey app. Simple way to listen to all of us here. Mullion Hall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel. My name should be on this read as well. I want to selfishly say that my name should be on this.
Gabe Ramirez, thank Hub
you.
Arkish.
Thank you. Thank you. And everything The Score has to offer with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us with you everywhere you go. Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish has mentioned, you know, having some good good Bears conversations, not the boring kind where it's just about Caleb Williams, about the team, about the future, about how we feel in the present. And that's why we're also taking some phone calls, huh? Let's take one more. Let's go to Jordan in Highland. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hello, how you fellas doing tonight?
Doing good. You know, a lot of conversation about the number 9 pick and what direction the Bears should be going in. You have an opinion?
Yeah, as far as the opinion-wise, I wanted to talk about that, and I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation as well. But as far as when it comes to the number 9 pick, I believe that they probably should go offensive tackle, but I think they're going to go receiver. Offensive tackle, I heard a good point that somebody made on the radio today. Of those three positions, what's the hardest one to trade for? That would be the offensive tackle, a left tackle. You know, you can trade for a defensive end. We've done that. You can trade for a wide receiver. But trading for a stud offensive tackle on the left side, when do you ever see that? So that's one of the hardest positions to get. So if they can do that, I could see them doing that, and I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
You know, Jordan, it's an interesting way to go at it. I'm not sure that the facts would back you up on it, though. It's not that hard to draft a left tackle in terms of relating it to any other position, you know, that I can think of.
Well, he was saying trade for a left tackle, or like to acquire a left tackle through a trade. So if you don't draft one, to acquire one,
yeah. I think, Hub, this is what a lot of people, you know, they're craving the need to be satisfied in the present always. Mm-hmm. Instead of just taking a beat and thinking about things and saying, hey, you know what? It's not, you just don't have to fix everything in the draft. There's going to be a lot of cap casualties still. There's going to be a lot of training camp cuts. There's going to be talent that is going to be out there, mm-hmm, where you can add pieces. And I think a lot of people, you know, even those that just speak casually about the draft, Hub, where they're like, okay, there are 6 needs and the Bears got to tackle them all. And you're like, wait, but they only got 4 picks left in the draft, so they can't even do what you're saying. And they're like, but they got to get the best center in the – well, how? If you want them to take a wide receiver in a – it's like we have to then just take a second and think to yourself, how can you actually attain these goals that you want? And, you know, free agency, those are gone, but you can, you know, maybe get someone a little bit later down the line. I think that's something that we got to put into the lexicon when we're thinking about what we want for the Bears in the future.
Well, yeah, but the problem with the conversation tonight is that once you get past the fourth round, there is nothing left
right
down the line.
That's my point.
And so that's where I keep saying there's no way I would use both those picks, the first and the ninth. I've got to trade one of them and get more first round. You're not just getting more picks, you're getting more first round picks, you know, and you're getting multiple for either one of those picks. And that's why I feel so strongly about it. Obviously, whoever they take, if they don't trade the first pick, and it looks like they're not going to, and if they do take Caleb Williams, and it looks like they're going to, and he turns out to be who everybody hopes he will, nobody's going to be unhappy. Everybody's going to be fine with that.
Right.
Okay.
With whatever happens at 9.
But if you do that, and then you use the 9th pick, and you don't get a special player there, when you could have gotten at least 3 or 4 more draft picks that all might have led to a special player, multiple special players, that's where I think you're making a mistake. Or you can go the other way, because I do think that there are going to be at least 2 or 3 very good quarterbacks out of this group. So if you trade that first overall pick, then you can get rich and you can still get your quarterback at number 9.
Yeah, I think the ultimate goal, right, is to have a special team, mm-hmm, at the very end of, mm-hmm, all of this, and putting that together and trying to compete at a high level as soon as possible. I think Bears fans are ready for some victories and even just a competent team. And it looks like they're heading in that direction, but you're right. You cannot have enough talent on a squad, especially when you're trying to be good, not just for a year or two, mm-hmm, but for the next 10 years. You're trying to set yourself up for that. Someone who most certainly is going to be good for the next 10 years has been having a hell of a run. Caitlin Clark has been putting on a show in the NCAA Women's Tournament. We're going to chat a little bit about that. I want to get Hub's thoughts on it, man. He's one of the 12 million people that's out there watching Caitlin Clark and everybody else in the Women's Tournament. We'll chat a little bit of that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, it's Hub Arcus, right here on The Score.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.